puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's that time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. He joins me now. Gordon, it's been too long.
Yeah,
well,
let's catch up then.
Let's catch up. Well, I wasn't here last weekend, so what was the clue that you had for us?
Well, the clue was that I said if you took a boat down the Red River and you went as far as the Chief Peguis Trail Bridge, you would see in the middle of the river a massive steel and concrete structure that ran parallel to the river.
Now, did you take a boat down the river?
Well, I took the next best thing. I flew my drone because
okay.
I wanted to get some pictures from
wow.
the perspective of the center of the river. And of course, unless I was prepared to swim across, which I wasn't. The drone was my surrogate.
So tell us, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about a large railway bridge that was part of something called the Bergen Cutoff. And that's our story today, is the story of the Bergen Cutoff.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning.
Well, okay, we still in Winnipeg have a relationship with railways. Of course, many people have, well, maybe less than fond experiences having to sit in traffic while a train goes by. Well, of course, this is something that has always been part of Winnipeg because the city is effectively a creature of the railway. The railway arrived in the 1880s from eastern Canada. It went on to western Canada. And here was Winnipeg sort of at the center of it all this train traffic going through town. The railway built a great big yard. It's still there. In fact, that's kind of what defines Winnipeg's North End. It's the part of the city north of that big railway yard of the CPR. Well, that was a bit of a problem for the railway. They began to realize that the congestion that was being caused right in the downtown part of the city was just getting a little bit too much. And so they decided to do something about it, to try to bypass the city, so to speak. And this is not, we're not talking now about a few decades ago. We're talking about over 100 years ago. The city decided they were going to, or the railway rather, decided they were going to reroute traffic around the city, especially traffic that wasn't intended to stop. If it was heading west or if it was heading east, if it didn't need to stop in Winnipeg, well, why send it right through the heart of the city? Instead, route it around the city. So that was the idea of the Bergen Cutoff.
Okay.
So what it meant was a train coming from the east would arrive at the eastern side of Winnipeg, but instead of going through the heart, through Point Douglas and to the big switching yard there today. Instead, it would route northward, and the railway built this huge yard they called the North Transcona Yard. It was massive. It was apparently one of the largest yards in North America. It had over 100 miles of tracks. It had room for 20,000 railway cars. It had a big roundhouse where they could service the steam locomotives. You know, basically, it had all the amenities that they had in their downtown Winnipeg facility, but it was on the outskirts of the city. So trains coming from the east would go into that yard, maybe pass right on through, and then they would cross the river. And that's what this bridge was. It was enabling them to cross the river to head on, and then they would eventually rejoin the main line west of Winnipeg at a place called Bergen. And today, if you look on a map, you won't find Bergen because it's nothing left. But if you've been to the Prairie Dog Central train, if you've taken the train from there, it's a stone's throw from where Bergen was. So basically, it would route the traffic north of the city and then rejoin the main line and off it would go. So that's the whole point of the Bergen Cutoff, was to enable trains to bypass the center of the city. So in 1912, the railway began building this big yard. 1913, they began building this bridge. They built massive approaches. Approaches, of course, are what bring the railway to the bridge to cross over the river. These things are huge. One of them, the east approach, is still there, and it's now a public walkway, a public trail, and you can walk along it. You look out, and you're actually above the roofs of all the houses. So, of course, in the day, the trains were way up there, and you think, why did they have such a huge approach? Well, the reason was they wanted to be able to clear the roads on either side of the river. So we have Henderson Highway east of the river. We have Main Street west of the river. And you wouldn't want to block traffic by having trains going across there regularly, because those are big arteries in the city. So they had this huge approach so that they could actually go over top of the roads on either side. And there was therefore a big bridge on the Henderson Highway, another big bridge on Main Street that would shunt the traffic over the
road. It sounds like a huge infrastructure project for that time.
Massive. If you just look at the amount of soil they had to move to make these approaches, it would have been massive. The bridge itself is a huge, the piles that they built it on were apparently some of the first they had done using a sort of what they call in engineering terms the caisson method. That was the first application of this special technique for building piles down to bedrock. It was, in fact, a double bridge. They had room for two railway lines that went across it. So, because this would, in fact, be the main line. It would be where lots of trains would be going across left and right. But what's interesting, too, is that in the center of this bridge, they had what they called a swing span. And the idea was, there, of course, there were boats going down the river, fairly big boats, and they couldn't be blocked by this bridge. So the center span was intentionally designed to turn so that in the event that a boat was coming down the river, they could turn it and the boat could go through and then they turn it back. So there would have been some kind of, you know, modification just based on boat traffic on the river. That's the part that's now locked into place. If you go and see the bridge and it's still there, the center swing span has been locked open. And so it is running parallel to the river now. It doesn't, if you tried to take a train across, you'd go bloop into the river with the train. But what's interesting about this whole thing, the bridge was constructed in 1913, 1914, and it was used until 1928 when the railway closed that North Transcona yard. And
so not that long.
Heck no.
Considering the expense and the work that went
precisely. And this is the thing I find so odd, that the newspaper stories I found about it say just innocuously, oh, we're closing for the season. But they don't seem to have reopened. In fact, hundreds of people were put out of work. Some of them were sent over to the other CPR shops, but some of them were just unemployed.
Do we know why?
No. This is the thing I still can't understand. I wasn't able to find it, and perhaps some of our listeners will know and they can share it with me. But no, as far as I know, it closed in 1928. The railway says that the last time they ever used that Bergen cutoff bridge was 1943, during the height of the Second World War. Mm. Well, there, I think, is an interesting story because, say, today, we are confronted continually by railways in Winnipeg. Right now, of course, the city of Winnipeg is building a big underpass at Waverley so that it can underpass the big railway line there. They're talking about replacing the bridge that goes over top of the yards on Arlington, the big Arlington Bridge. They want to replace that. You know, it cost a lot of money to build those structures. If you didn't need to, you know, if there weren't any railways going through the city, center of the city, you wouldn't have to spend all this money. Recently, there was an editorial in one of the papers about, you know, isn't it time we move the railways out of Winnipeg so we're not constantly waiting for traffic? I mean, it's become kind of a standard excuse. Oh, I'm late for a meeting because I got held up by a train. Well, here we have a situation where over 100 years ago, the railway acknowledged that it was causing congestion in the city, intentionally built an alternative so that they could reroute a lot of the traffic around the city. They only used it for a short time, and then they abandoned it.
And I'm guessing the traffic back then isn't quite as bad as it is now.
Precisely. So it seems to me that this Bergen cutoff makes even more sense today than it did back in 1913 when it was starting to be constructed. Meanwhile, this North Transcona yard that I mentioned before, I say it was one of the largest in North America, and it's been used. It's still used. The railway still puts boxcars in there from the east. But because the Bergen cutoff is now closed, because the bridge itself is abandoned, they can't go west from the yard. So they just use it sort of as a holding place, I think. All of the infrastructure they had there, the big turntable for turning locomotives, it's all gone. There was a great big smokestack, an enormous smokestack that was built to provide power as part of a powerhouse to run the facility. And it was still there until last spring. And then they demolished that. The only conspicuous reminder of that once massive railway yard that was built on the north side of the city is that on the edge of it, they built a huge grain terminal to be able to hold grain and then ship it perhaps east to the market. And this was one of the biggest terminals in the province. It was 1 million bushels, which is still over twice the size of the next nearest elevator in Manitoba. So it's massive. And in fact, it's an interesting story in itself because that terminal was built in 1912, that grain terminal. And within months of building it, it actually started to tilt. And they were worried it was actually going to fall over on its side. But fortunately, they managed to stop it. And engineers very carefully tilted the thing back upright again. So it's actually still in use. There's a local company, Parrish and Heimbecker, still using that big grain terminal. So that's probably one of the most conspicuous reminders of the time when the railway tried to reroute traffic around Winnipeg, but only did it for a few years.
Now, this part of the bridge that's still standing, has it been in that open position for the past 70 years?
As near as I can tell, yeah, when they finally stopped using the Bergen cutoff, they simply turned it so that it wouldn't impede boats. Now, of course, we don't even have boats big enough now to run down the river that would require the bridge to be opened. So it's really not even necessary to have it locked open. But I think now you'd be hard-pressed to try to unlock it because it's probably all corroded and wouldn't probably move if you tried. But the nice thing is that if this old approach, the eastern approach, is, say, a public walkway. It's a very peaceful sort of trail. You can walk along there. You can bike along there. And when you get to the river, you get a great view of the old railway bridge. So it's definitely worth a look if you're interested.
Now, have there been any talks to get rid of this part of the bridge or kind of do something with it?
Well, that's an interesting thing. In fact, through the years, there's been a number of suggestions as to what they could do with it. One is that the city of Winnipeg looked at possibly using it as sort of a driving bridge for vehicles. And then they thought, no, it's not really in the right spot. So they ended up building the bridge we call the Chief Peguis Trail Bridge, just to the north of it. Then in the late 1980s, a couple of entrepreneurs decided they were going to build a sort of a residential area nearby. And then they were going to put a restaurant and pedestrian corridor on the railway bridge. And they were going gangbusters. They acquired 22 acres of land from the railway. But within a year, they withdrew the idea because there was just so much public outcry.
Why?
They just wanted to leave this area as green space. They wanted this nice walking trail. They wanted to leave these sort of unimpeded vistas of this nice old abandoned railway bridge.
So what happened to the land then?
It was acquired by the city of Winnipeg, and the city developed this walking trail that you can walk along.
Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What is the clue for next week?
Well, we're going to visit a very secluded spot in the forest near Caddy Lake in the Whiteshell Provincial Park. This site reminds us of the history of mail delivery in Canada.
Excellent. Gordon, thank you so much.
See you next week.
Puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.